This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. Cause the truth will be tonight.
Spread talk. Is it now? Is the mic on? Is this on? Here we go. Welcome. No, I'm just kidding. Yay! Welcome back in,
Curtis,
the program.
Where's the number
here.
Four?
It's fourth quarter.
Todd doesn't know, but
I know it's
you
the
know
fourth
better,
quarter.
Okay?
You know, this is the Oklahoma thing. I know about the fourth quarter. It's not the program's business. It's the Sooners thing. Fourth quarter.
I think the Sooners invented that.
They did invent it, yeah.
They invented the fourth quarter, actually. They invented the concept of quarters. It was all halves.
You know, they did invent play like a champion today. That's not Notre Dame. That's Oklahoma.
I don't doubt that. There had only been three quarters. They only played three quarters up until Bud Wilkinson got there. And then they decided to play. He said, we're playing four quarters.
Yeah, going to play fourth quarter. That's what it is. What it is, we are going to tell you what you need to know. Brought to you by Jungle Law. And let's play some Chiefs sound first as we work through what you need to know. What you need to know is Orlando Brown Jr. still not in camp, okay? Breaking news, he's still not there. And Roderick Johnson's been – we haven't talked a lot. Every day we kind of look, and, you know, the first day Coach talked about a little bit, but he talked about a little bit more today. And he likes what he's seen so far from Roderick Johnson at left tackle.
I like Roderick. He doesn't say much. I mean, you don't want him in the tent here. You're not going to hear much, so – but he's a good, solid player, you know. I mean, we're not set, you know, we saw the Orlando thing out there, and all, but if you can go play with Roderick. I mean, he can jump in there and play the game, so I like what I'm seeing. I look forward to seeing him in pads, but I, you know, he's got some experience, so I know what he can do.
That's good news.
Interested to see if Adam thought thinks anything of that clip, because maybe I'm reading too much it and I'm connecting some dots. I would not put it past Andy Reid to have said, yeah, we can, he can play, we can drop him into a game, he can play. But that's in any way a public statement to Orlando Brown.
Yeah. There was a very brief before he said we can play, because I agree with you, Curtis, because right before he said we can play with Roderick. There was a very brief if, and I almost think his mind was beginning to go if
we don't have to.
It comes to it, and he didn't go down that route. But he kind of goes if, and then we can play with Roderick. I'm completely with you, Curtis. I think there was, I don't know if it was a message, but I think he wants it out there that they feel confident with what Roderick Johnson's doing.
Yeah, we can move on if we have to.
Yeah, they may have to.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think they have to. Boy, if they have to move on all year, that's some. We'll ask Adam about that, kind of where he thinks that thing is right now. All right, another one here from Coach Reed. There's been, you know, listen, I think we get too fired up about some little bits here and there, because the term street ball got thrown around with Patrick Mahomes doing some of his improvisation, whatever. Let's play this. We'll play what Coach said about that, and then we'll kind of talk about it. Here's Coach Reed talking about if Patrick's a little too reliant on those kind of plays.
Yeah, listen, I mean, a lot of coaches have to teach guys how to roll out and call plays to do that. We just do it. He just doesn't. No, he's tremendous. He's tremendous. Yeah, no, I know if you guys look at Pro Football Focus and all those things. So just take a peek at that and see how many times he hits the second receiver.
Eric Eager running around his office today, arms extended.
Yes!
Proof's in the pudding, I guess, there. I think someone on TV or an unnamed somebody will say something like, oh, it's just street ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's not Brett Veach.
Right.
Or someone saying it, and then it turns into this thing where we ask questions about it. That's what happens, you know.
At some point, does it become something resembling street ball? Yes, but you know, that's as a last resort, and maybe sometimes as a first or second resort. But I don't think the fact that he does that is, how can that be an a negative.
Every year around January or February, talk about the way Steph Curry plays basketball comes up. And is it a legitimate or is it a soft way to play, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of times come spring, he's playing for and oftentimes winning a ring and putting up banners. I don't care, and I don't think Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid cares how it's done. If more banners go up and more rings go on their fingers, call it street ball.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. In like 1962, the AFL was street ball because they were throwing the football down the field and not just lining up with no one more than about 10 yards away from the football to the sides or front to back and just running into each other. Okay, so the game is evolving, much like you said with Steph Curry there. You're not playing the game down by the basket. You're shooting the ball from further away. Seven-footers are chucking threes up and making them. And in football, they're not just lining up in an I formation and running into each other. They're finding space. And sometimes you need to find space for yourself when they're rushing after you. I don't think Coach is going to bristle at that there, but he may be away from the podium would bristle at street ball. It's football is what it is.
But just the first part of his statement, coaches have to try to teach that into players.
What you need to
when
they're running at you is run away from them.
Yes.
I mean, that's just like...
Hey, Coach, what do you think of running backs who try to avoid tackles?
Well, that's...
Are they not tough?
It's ridiculous. So a lot of times this happens when someone will call it street ball. It's code words, right?
Oh, yeah.
For like a black quarterback. Oh, he's just running around being athletic or whatever. And Patrick was asking a question. We've seen this criticism of Kyler Murray's not studying or, Lamar Jackson is just running around making plays and he doesn't have his contract done yet and all that stuff. So Patrick was asked today about, that subject with black quarterbacks about getting criticized for things that maybe some others don't.
I don't want to go that far and say that. I mean, obviously, the black quarterback has had a battle to be in this position that we are, to have this many guys in the league playing. And I think every day we're proving that we should have been playing the whole time. We've got guys that think just as well as they can use their athleticism. And so it always is weird when you see guys like me, Lamar, Kyler, kind of get that on them and other guys don't. But at the same time, we're going to go out there and prove ourselves every day to show that we can be some of the best quarterbacks in the league.
So, I mean, it wasn't... Listen, if Patrick Mahomes comments on anything, it's going to be a big deal because he's an MVP and a Super Bowl champion quarterback. So this quote has been making the rounds. We'll ask Adam about it, too, when we talk to him next segment, about what he made of Patrick's answer and where the league is now. I mean, the league is – I'll say this as someone who's been around this for 30 years. The league's in a better place now than it's ever been as far as quarterbacks. They'll take – they're finally getting smart, and they'll take – whoever can play quarterback at quarterback. If you're 5'10" and you can play quarterback, they're going to take you. If you're black, they're going to take you as a quarterback because they want to win football games, and they've finally gotten there. Maybe it's not 100% perfect, but if you look at – there's a whole lot of minority quarterbacks who are playing, getting paid big freaking money to play, and – overlooking any possible disciplinary things in Deshaun Watson's case to play. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean,
and that's bled into the college level where athletic players who come out of high school aren't forced to be a wide receiver
100%.
Or a corner. Yeah. And that's one of the things that's helped feed that is the success of quarterbacks in the NFL. It took them 20 or 30 years to, after Doug Williams or hell after Marlon Briscoe. I mean, Marlon Briscoe was starting for the Broncos in 68. And the Dolphins turned him into a wide receiver, so they were a long ways away from figuring that out now. But as they've come around to the realization, which everything you've seen suggests should have been made decades ago, that is found its way down to the college level and will find its way to the high school levels as well. And at some point, we won't think about it as being an issue.
I would also add, I agree with everything you guys just said. I would also like to just add, we've said it enough, but I don't think you can say it too many times. That man remains completely undefeated with a microphone in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter the topic.
Nope.
He never messes up.
Yeah, because the question was, the specific question was, are black quarterbacks evaluated differently? And he said, I don't want to go there yet, but I will say this.
Yeah.
And so he even avoided the what could have been a minefield and very adroitly answered that question.
Well, the question is, who's evaluating you? Is it the actual team evaluating you differently, or is it the media?
Right, because
I do think the media perhaps evaluates differently.
Yes.
I know they evaluate differently than teams do, because the media likes controversial topics mm-hmm. and things that will get clicks and get eyeballs and all that
yes.
kind of stuff.
We're still a long ways away from someone like Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray just being evaluated across the board the same way someone like Justin Herbert is. We're not there yet.
And I think we're certainly much more
yes.
outside of football. I think inside of football, they're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because inside
exactly.
of football, I think
coaches and GMs and
every, you know, and the Chiefs have been kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of this for decades on this. I mean,
Hank
Lamar Hunt
certainly was.
And Hank Stram, they were like, I don't care if the guy is black and went to a D2 school.
First black middle linebacker.
Duke can play, right? And I think the league is getting closer to being there, if not. And I think they all understand, dude, you just got to win games. However you win games, you got to win games. And they're getting better. But the media, probably getting worse, honestly, because everything is divisive now
mm-hmm.
on all fronts. It's turned into sports that way. Yeah. I don't like that part of it. All right, what else do you need to know? Well, you need to know Adam Teicher's coming up next. But Royals tonight, -380, the Yankees are favored. That's one of the biggest, if not one of the biggest, or the biggest underdogs you've had in a while. Garrett Cole's very good. Chris Bubich, no respect. Dude's been nails the last two games.
Yeah.
But the Royals haven't scored since Monday.
So
that's an issue.
It's very difficult to win when you don't score. I think
it's never been done.
Teams who don't score a run have won less than 30% of their games.
I think it might be 0%.
Well, that's less than 30.
It is. Let's call it nunce games.
None percent. And I think Garrett Cole is on. If you wanted to list all the major league pitchers in order of who you'd want to face the least when you haven't scored in 4 days, I think Garrett Cole is pretty close to the top.
Pretty close.
So
but is he the top?
Tough sledding.
He's going to have to face Salvador Perez tonight, batting third and DH, and he's back with the lineup, back with the big league club. So that's good news. Bobby Witt not in the lineup for the 800,000th time in a row.
Five straight games.
And Adam tells me now there's a starter, not a TBA. What do we have on Sunday?
Yeah, so Alec Lewis tweeted this. Jonathan Heasley will start tomorrow.
He's
going to start tomorrow. They've moved Zach Greinke to Sunday.
Okay, there you go. Greinke on Sunday. Wonderful.
Zach attack.
Will the Royals win a game against the Yankees this weekend?
Yes.
Yes? It's Curtis? His eyes glassed over.
No. They had to get it done last night.
When are they winning, Adam?
Sometime this weekend.
When?
Between now and Monday.
Tonight?
I don't know.
Tonight? Yeah.
I can't. I won't,
tonight?
I won't put
Sunday's
money on a day. I'm going to say, I'll say they. Alec Lewis also did say, Mike Matheny said that Bobby Witt's close to full prep today,
mm-hmm.
including running the bases. Stop. Matheny said it went well.
Maybe tomorrow he'll play. So they've only wasted six games.
Yeah.
When they could have put him on the IL.
Stop.
I don't get it. So Emmanuel Herrera went back to Omaha to get Salvia.
How's this one? I got one fire right back at you. Next thing to happen, Royals win a baseball game, Bobby Witt Jr. is part of their lineup again.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Be a tie. Bobby Witt will play
and Saturday, and they'll win.
Or he'll
play in the first game after the Yankees series, and they'll win that one.
It could be. Well, it's going really well though.
If they get one, it's gonna be Saturday. Heasley's not gonna win tomorrow, and I don't think you're beating Garrett Cole tonight with that lineup.
So Greinke on Sunday.
Greinke.
Go four, and then see what happens.
Possible.
Hopefully get through. I like
but the
this
way
one.
The Royals play in series finales is not
not good.
Engender a lot of confidence either.
It does not. All right, this is a good one from the NFL. The Jaguars have signed a new kicker, Elliott Fry, because they cut a rookie named Andrew Mevis.
The brother of Harrison Mevis, Missouri star.
This is the way this is written, wildly missed three field goal attempts during training camp warm-ups. One that hit former Dallas Cowboys head coach Dave Campo, who was on the side working for a sports talk station. Hit him in the shoulder. He wasn't paying attention. First off, Coach, I guess you expect the ball not to be that wildly missed.
Probably so.
But can what you don't want to do is miss so wildly you hit somebody.
No.
Can we put some respect on Dave Campo's name? I get, okay, fine, former Cowboys head coach. How about former Kansas defensive coordinator?
Oh.
There you go.
How about that?
Wow.
How about
Let's
that?
Name the man's that, accolades,
that
okay?
That carries some weight. Andrew Mevis, by the way, Iowa State product, brother of Harrison Mevis.
So from a doink.
He took the job away from Connor Assley.
Mm-hmm.
Who always had a difficult time looking at the jersey for that kicker at Iowa State. And I was like, I'll bet he got some mess from people.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah.
With his name back in the day.
So from a doink like to a Mike Vanderjagt against the Steelers, how bad were these misses? Sounds closer to Vanderjagt.
They sound bad. They sound really bad. Or Lynn Elliott. Lynn Elliott only missed one of them really bad in that game. It was cold. It's cold. But Vanderjagt, that was a bad one.
Yeah, that was indoors.
He didn't hit anyone either, though.
You what?
He didn't hit anyone.
I think he might have hit somebody in the stands.
Well, if you get to the stands, well, I don't know.
I don't think Elliott's got to the stands.
No, bad. Why do we bring that up still? Ah,
the videos. The one of my favorite shots is if you watch the game of that when they just cut to a shot of Mark Collins, who's just staring. Like into space.
Yeah, like what is going on?
Like with those covers with the balaclavas or whatever they have, and it's the steam is just coming. And he just bang. He just turns around and walks away.
Kickers.
And
last thing you need to know, if you're going to the sporting game tomorrow night, it's right here on Sports Radio at 10. But if you're going to be out there at the park playing Austin FC 7:30 halftime, stay in your seats, not to watch me in the media game, but to watch Marco Marquez. Bring it in the media game. Tim Grunhardt gave him a pep talk on the show today. Steven is offering bounties for different things he can do. So Marco's going to be out there. He claims he hasn't run in 4 years. I said, 4 years? That's nothing, man. I've been running way more than 4 years. But I won't be running on Saturday night either. But I will be out there representing Sports Radio 810. And hopefully Sporting will win. And hopefully that we're the light blue team with the Sporting blue, not the Indigos. We'll root for the Indigos.
If you see a pale figure kind of just circling around in one area, that's probably Todd.
That's me. I'm going to have to suck my gut in, too. It hasn't been a very good month or so of eating for me. I've done a really good job. It's not been great
in
the last little bit.
I'm at the point where sucking in doesn't really do you much good.
No, it doesn't do it very much good. We got a big fatty coming on here next. Adam Teicher's in horrible shape.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably out riding a bike right now in St. Joseph.
Patrick Mahomes was born.
Osweiler, intercepted. Picked off by Hastings. He's in for the winning touchdown. The Chiefs have won in overtime.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years of lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Adam Teicher joins us here on the program. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro, courtesy Bolt. Adam Dravetta here as well. I was just down the hallway talking to Rudy Salazar. It's his last day here at Union Broadcast.
It is?
Today's the last day. You better say goodbye.
Heading out. I don't know. Today?
Nah, it's today. We love Rudy.
You know what? Every company in the world, regardless of what you do, needs a Rudy.
Yeah.
That guy has
now
been.
Now we're losing our damn Rudy.
That guy has been an ace. He does everything you ask. He does a lot of things you don't ask, and he does them. He does them all well. There aren't many Rudys. You and I have had this discussion before. There aren't many Rudys.
No.
He's also annoyingly good at a lot of things without really ever trying. It's not like one of those things where he has to get it a few times with some mix-ups. And no, he just gets it.
Reminds me of Adam Teicher from ESPN. Joining us from St. Joseph. Are you still in St. Joseph, Adam? You're never leaving, are you?
I am in St. Joe, for sure. No, practice tomorrow morning. Where am I going, man?
You going to come home Saturday night for a little bit?
I will do that. No practice on Sunday, so I will be home. And hey, by the way, on Rudy, I remember talking to him back in, like, February. He was telling me it was his last day. So you may be having a little more trouble getting rid of him.
No. We tricked him and made him stay for a little while. And then I tricked him again and made him stay for a little while. And now I just told him, I said, you know, you're not leaving until October. And he reached up and smacked me. So, no, he's moving to Wichita. And I wish him all the best in the world because he really is a great kid. And well, he's not a kid.
Not a kid anyway. What was when he got here?
Everyone's a kid to me. Kid. Even Adam's a kid to me. Adam. So I was not up there at practice today. I saw the pressers and we got to hear from the big guys, right? Coach Reed, Clark Hunt, and Patrick. Let me ask you real quick, anything you hear from Clark Hunt stand out to you? We've played a little clip about Arrowhead Stadium and kind of where they're looking, if they're looking. It sounds to me like maybe priority one for him would be to find a way to stay out where the stadium is in the future. Is that kind of the way you felt he was talking?
Yeah, and that's really the first I'd heard that. I mean, we kind of all assumed that, you know, that, hey, they've got a stadium out there. They've got all that land out there. You know, they can maybe do some things in developing that area that they couldn't do with the Royal Stadium there. So that made a lot of sense. And so I guess it wasn't surprising, but we hadn't heard it from him. And for him to lay out their priority here, it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, do you think anything else stood out there? I mean, I kind of figured he was going to be no alternate uniform still. That's I'd like to be in some of those meetings because it was pretty obvious the other day that Mark Donovan was like, yeah, you know, maybe not, you know, keep fighting that unwinnable battle. That's maybe the other thing that kind of stood out. People are excited about alternate uniforms. Some people are, but that's not really the Chiefs' way.
Yeah, and I kind of like the way the Chiefs do it. You know what they're going to look like. I mean, I don't even like their red on red uniform combination. I think with the red helmets, it makes them look like giant hot dogs running around the field. You know, I don't like that look.
I've never liked it.
But other than that, I like the Chiefs look, particularly when they're in their white jerseys. So the red helmets are classic. I don't want to see the Chiefs mess with that. I mean, I agree with Clark Hunt. When you turn on the TV, sometimes you're like, who is this? Is this a USFL game? You don't recognize it. But with the Chiefs, you never have that problem.
I said earlier, if I would like to see just once a year maybe, just do the all white helmet, white all the way to the bottom. It'd be kind of cool. I think they would do it well. I think those colors would lend itself to something kind of cool. But if I have to choose between an organization that never does that and sticks with what is fortunate for them is a very clean, very good look, and an organization that changes things around constantly and you don't really know what their logo or what their look is, I'll take the what the Chiefs are doing any day.
Yeah, I mean, some teams, it's like the Rams, it seems like they've changed uniforms and you don't know what the look is going to be from week to week. And, you know, the Bengals
Ravens.
Have made some changes. I don't know. I like knowing what you can count on there. So I'm okay with the Chiefs not doing anything with the alternate helmet or alternate jersey or anything like that.
Well, the Rams change cities too, so they go back and forth all the time. That's kind of, I wasn't standing there today.
But the Rams could have had the old look they had in L.A., and they chose to remake it into something that's just dreck.
Yeah, exactly. Adam, tell me this. I saw Clark. He was at the Wednesday practice as well, and he was kind of standing in the tent there. Is he, like, on some crazy workout thing? Did he have shorts on? Did he look, like, crazy in shape to you today?
He's always looked that way, kind of. You know, he's big on the bike. I've gone bike riding with him. It's been a few years now back in River Falls. So he's into it. I mean, yeah, but he does. He looks like he gets after it for sure.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you got all this money. You own a team. Put on some weight or something.
Have a cheeseburger every now and then.
Have a cheeseburger
he is,
or something.
He's 0% body fat. His hair doesn't move. Stop it.
Yeah, quit.
Be a human. Be a regular guy, man.
All right, let's start.
You untuck your shirt. Do something.
Adam Teicher is our guest from ESPN, and he's up there in River Falls. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, of course. All right, Carlos Dunlap, you know, it was kind of funny yesterday. Coach Spagnuolo didn't know what to say because he knew they were signing, but he hadn't been signed yet. But Carlos isn't there now, but Andy told you guys up there that this is someone who's going to fit in nicely to what they do. What can Carlos Dunlap be for this Chiefs team this year?
Yeah, I mean, he can be what Melvin Ingram was for the Chiefs, maybe with better numbers, what Ingram was last year. You know, I feel like this was the biggest glaring weakness in terms of roster spots for the Chiefs. You know, they've got some guys who can play, but, you know, that pass rush just wasn't potent enough last year. They needed to do something to punch that up, and I don't know how they were going to accomplish that with the guys they had before Carlos Dunlap got there. So assuming he's any kind of semblance of the player he was in his best years with the Bengals, then I kind of like this move. I think this will be an underrated move, something we'll be talking about well into the season because the Chiefs needed help at that spot, no doubt.
So, and he's away at a funeral now. Do you know when they expect him in?
Yeah, I'm hearing Wednesday. It's not just a funeral. I think there's some other stuff. He needed to get a few things squared away. He told the Chiefs when he signed the other day that he was going to need a few days before he showed up for camp. The Chiefs were okay with that. That's my understanding. So, but Wednesday is the day when I would expect him up at St. John.
And you expect Orlando Brown Jr. on Wednesday? I'm sorry, I couldn't say it without laughing. Are you hearing anything on that front at all? Are you going to just say, forget it, he's not coming to St. Joe?
No, I don't really expect to see him, but, you know, it looks to me like the Chiefs are sure expecting him to show up someday because I don't know that Roderick Johnson's a long-term answer at left tackle. You know, that may be a one- or two-game thing or whatever. I think if they have a longer-term answer in camp right now at left tackle, it's Joe Tooney. And just so I feel like they're just keeping the spot warm with Roderick Johnson. And if the Chiefs were serious, that if they didn't think Orlando Brown was coming in, they'd have Tooney over there. But it's wasted practice. If you think Tooney's coming back, it's wasted practice having him at left tackle right now. He's missing out at left guard, and so you're wasting snaps and wasting everybody's time. So it certainly looks like the Chiefs are keeping that spot open. But I would expect that at some point Tooney will get a look there if Orlando Brown doesn't show up.
All right, let's play the soundbite from Coach Reed today about Roderick Johnson and kind of parse it out a little bit. Here's Coach Reed talking about Roderick Johnson.
I like Roderick. He doesn't say much. I mean, you don't want him in the tent here. You're not going to hear much. So, but he's a good, solid player. You know, I mean, we're not set. You know, we saw the Orlando thing out there, and all, but if you can go play with Roderick, I mean, he can jump in there and play the game. So. I like what I'm seeing. I look forward to seeing him in pads, but he's got some experience, so I know what he can do.
One thing I wondered, Adam, was that he said, and it jumped out at me, and maybe I was one of the only ones. He said, "You can play with him. You can play with him in the game." And now I don't think anyone thinks if he's going to be the left tackle on opening day, or if they were playing this weekend, that he'd be ready to play. Do you think there's anything to the idea that he tossed that out there strategically for Orlando Brown Jr.?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of what's being said in this regard is for Orlando Brown Jr.'s benefit or for his ears. You know, when Andy Reid threw out Joe Tooney there, what was it, opening day of camp, or mm-hmm. when they were reported for rookie camp, he said, well, Joe Tooney can do it. We know that. So that was for Orlando Brown's benefit. So, you know, I think everything is done for a reason, and certainly that's part of it. And, you know, hey, Andy Breed generally isn't given to great hype over a player. But even, you know, even for him, I think that was a little underwhelming what he had to say about Roderick Johnson. So I would, if you're taking odds on what the Chiefs do at left tackle on opening day, if Orlando Brown doesn't show up, I would not go with Roderick Johnson.
So, Adam, refresh us again exactly what needs to happen. So, when he can sign this franchise tag at any point and show up, when yep. will he? He can't get fined unless he signs it. So, if he signs it, he's coming. And any time before week eight, what are the rules there?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, it's the ball's in his court. He can, He can either elect to sign it and show up, or he cannot sign it. You know, the Chiefs have really no control over that. There's really nothing they can do about that. They can't negotiate a longer-term contract. I mean, if he plays this year, it's going to be 1 year and $16.6 million. So, you know, that's the option. Chiefs really can't do anything about it. The only thing the Chiefs could do at this point is take away that franchise tag and make him a free agent. The Chiefs would get their $16.6 million back against the salary cap if they did that. But I don't sense any momentum for that to happen. So, really, the ball is in Orlando Brown's court.
But if he tries to play hardball and, like, I'm not showing up for the first game, and he doesn't sign it till week two, he doesn't get $16.8 million, right? He gets the prorated whatever. Is that correct?
Yeah, he does. He does. So it just makes no sense for him not to show up, since, you know, it's one thing if you can bargain a long-term contract right now. I get the strategy of not showing up for camp, but at this point, you know, this year is what it's going to be for Orlando Brown in terms of money. It's going to be 1 year and $16.6 million. So, he needs to show up.
Yeah, I think the chances of not showing up and going full Le'Veon Bell is not good. I mean, he's going to show up because dude's only made like $6.8 million. You can't just throw away a chance to make this much money guaranteed, because if he shows up and he signs a contract and gets hurt, he still gets all that money, because it's like a baseball contract at that point, right? It's guaranteed.
Yeah, it's guaranteed. Once he signs that contract, that one-year franchise player contract, that money is all guaranteed, so he gets it no matter what.
Now, that would be a financial malpractice if his agent advised him not to sign that. Okay, Adam Teicher is our guest. He's up in St. Joseph. The Chiefs are up there. They got practice tomorrow, not on Sunday, but he'll be back on the field Monday as well. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. You wrote about this on ESPN.com. He was asked a question about, you know, the...
Are you evaluated differently?
Differently as a black quarterback, because we've seen some of these things running around there with Kyler Murray and, you know, the independent study program or whatever, and some of these things running out. And Patrick's very good when he talks about these things. But what did you make of his answer to that question? And just where do you think the league is right now on things like that?
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with him on some of these things. You just don't hear these types of things about white quarterbacks, you know. And I tend to agree with him a little bit. I thought that was a really powerful comment when he said, hey, you know, you don't hear these things that they say about me and about Kyler and about Lamar Jackson. You don't hear these things about white guys, you know. And he's right. I agree with him. You don't. So, until that changes, I think he's got a leg to stand on.
Do you think when we talk like that, I mean, people say, oh, it's street ball or whatever. Do you think that's outside the league, media, Twitter, things like that, or inside the league? Do you think the league has made strides, I guess, is the point, to not, or I guess being colorblind, I guess?
I don't know. That's a hard thing to judge. I mean, that comment, the street ball comment, came from a defensive coordinator, apparently, and a current defensive coordinator. So, that's the story there. On Kyler Murray, I really can't speak to it. And I'm not close enough to know what's going on there. But obviously, the Cardinals felt pretty strongly about this, that they didn't think he was serious enough about his studies, which is, I can't imagine, giving a contract like they gave to Kyler Murray to a guy they don't trust, but they did.
And it angered Murray to the point where he spoke on a day where he wasn't scheduled to. He said, I need to talk about this right now. That's how much it rankled him.
Now there's an addendum on that, to where listen, the Cardinals are a mess. They've always been a mess, and that comes from the top down. Their ownership's not great. They hired a coach and fired him in a year. They hired a guy who couldn't win in college, and then they drafted Kyler Murray number one. Don't make me defend the Cardinals. They don't know what they're doing half the time, but, you know, it is what it is. But
yeah, they did remove that requirement.
Right. It's
But after they got so much flack. I mean, if
that's on Kyler's agent too, right? And Kyler. I mean, maybe Kyler's not going to read the whole contract, but the agent's got to be, what's this thing? You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why the agent would allow him to sign that contract. And maybe Kyler Murray said, I don't really care about anything but the money. I'll sign this. I don't really care that they're going to make me do this.
No one knows it's going to get out either. But, you know, here's the deal. The contract gets out, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, when did he sign that contract? Like 10 days ago or something? I mean, it took all of 10 days for that thing to get out. So, it's crazy that way.
Yeah, it's the way it is. I mean, listen, organizations do silly things. The Cardinals did a weird one. Giving Deshaun Watson money, not knowing if he's going to play or not, when you already have a guy under contract. Bad organizations do bad things. Or dumb things, I guess.
But it highlights the advantageous position the Chiefs are in. One, they know they have a guy who's great, who's going to be here a while. And two, they also know that guy is aces in every format you can put him in. On the field, off the field, in front of a camera. Few people have ever checked the boxes that Patrick Mahomes checks at his age.
Yeah, and I loved his comment last week when he was asked about not being the highest paid quarterback or not even in the top three anymore. And he's like, I don't care. That's not what motivates me. And I make enough to make me happy. I make enough off the field. And they're going to judge me on rings. They're not going to judge me on money. And he's right. I mean, look, when we talk about Tom Brady, do we ever talk about how much money he's made in his career, wherever he ranks on the quarterback list in terms of pay? No, we don't. We talk about those seven rings he's got.
And it's one of the things that
I agree with.
It was like I guess it was the time we got to talk to Travis in the media room. It was minicamp or whatever, and he was the same way.
Yeah,
he's like, well, he's not the highest paid tight end. He's like, I'm out here for legacy, man.
Yeah.
Why do you go down to Texas? Do you any chance I get a chance to catch a pass from the quarterback? I'm going down there. That guy doesn't need to be going down and doing those things. But they've got more than one player like that in leadership positions, and that is such a tremendous help. And now, Adam, we look up, Tyreek Hill wanted to get the bag. Big money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And already he's not the highest paid whatever.
Yeah.
So you can't be worried about that crap.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm never going to knock a player for taking the money. I'm never going to do that because I haven't lived Tyreek Hill's life. I don't know what he's got going on and where he comes from. So I'm not going to knock that. But to me, it's not like the Chiefs were offering $10 an hour or whatever. They were offering pretty good money. And they were talking about pretty good money. And to me, it's worth it to play with Patrick Mahomes in an organization like this rather than go down to Miami, make top dollar, but play with a quarterback who's not established. And for an organization that has made the playoffs like once in the last 20 years or whatever it is,
First year head coach.
Well, if you get to a podcast now. So, I mean, if you get to a podcast, Adam, it's big.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and hey, if that stuff's important to him, I'm not knocking that. To me, I know where I would be on this, and I'd want to play with Pat Mahomes and play with the Chiefs. But obviously, he wasn't happy here. So, go for it. I hope he does well.
Well, that's one of the things that's curious to me too about Orlando Brown. They offered, in my mind, Orlando Brown probably more than he was worth by all the metrics you measure people by, right? And for him to not sign that worries me a little bit about what he might be about, okay?
Yeah. I hear you completely. When the Chiefs traded for him, just talking to a lot of people about him inside the Chiefs organization and out, they indicated how important football was to him. And I really thought, for that reason, that he would sort of take whatever the best offer he could get from the Chiefs, and because he loved football and wanted to play. But this is not the action of a guy who really loves to play. I mean, and again, I'm not knocking him for taking not being happy with an offer or wanting more. I get that. But don't tell me you can be that and also that you're about the football too. I mean, at some point, you have to make a choice. Tyreek Hill made a choice. On that, and I think Orlando Brown is at least in the process of making that choice.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Adam Teicher is our guest, and before we let you go, we're 3 days in. Who's the camp darling right now? Who's the guy who's popping out to you?
Oh, there's a few guys. It's kind of easy for guys when there's not pads on, but I tell you what, the Chiefs drafted Josh Williams, a cornerback from a Division II school in Fayetteville State last in the fourth round. And you expect a guy like that to come, any fourth rounder really, you don't expect a whole lot, particularly early in camp, and particularly one who's not used to playing against the caliber of players he's going up against now. But he's held his own. I mean, he's maybe more than held his own, and he looks like a guy that this is not too big for. So, you know, maybe that's a guy, that's certainly a guy to keep an eye on. And maybe it's a guy who can help the Chiefs. Maybe he's not such a long-term project. Maybe he's more of a guy that can help them out this year. So, you know, he's a guy that I definitely have my eye on when camp starts.
Yeah, I thought the same thing for the couple of days I was up there. What are your quick impressions, real quick, with Mecole Hardman so far?
The same guy, you know, dropping some balls. He dropped a pass. He was wide open today. He dropped a pass, and you know, but still, you can see what the Chiefs like in him, you know. And there's enough there that you don't want to give up on him too early. But to say he's going to have a breakout year or a career year just based on what we've seen so far, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same place. But it's a long way to go this year to see where he ends up being. Adam, thanks for your time today. Listen, we're sending Stephen St. John up there next week for you, okay? You get to hang out with Stephen. Yeah, you keep him under control. Make sure he doesn't get in any trouble up there because he's got to be on the radio pretty early in the morning. It'll be fun. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Good stuff, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
That's Adam Teicher. He's up there in St. Joseph bringing it down for us for the Chiefs. Always love talking to Adam. A lot of fun up there. I know a lot of Chiefs fans will be going up there tomorrow. It's Saturday. You got to make sure you get your tickets reserved before whatever. Don't just go driving up there. It's fun. People love doing it. More power to you. More power to you. All right, we got one last segment coming for you. We're going to tell you, it's the kicker.
By the way, it's supposed to be 81 tomorrow.
Oh,
so you're not going to get many days like tomorrow to go up and watch them. Watch some practice.
I'm going to pass this Saturday. I'm not going.
You're not?
Okay. I'm not going to go. I'm not going up there on Saturday. Adam, are you going? No? All right. 0-3. None of us are going to Chiefs practice tomorrow.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. With at least 500 innings, who has the lowest career ERA in Yankees history?
Mariano Rivera.
He is second.
Damn it.
2.21.
500 innings is a starter then, or no? It's probably another reliever.
It's a reliever.
John Wetland didn't get enough innings, did he? Tom Gordon.
Nope.
Who is it?
Goose Gossage.
The Goose.
2.14.
I just see him give up home runs.
All I ever see is the Bintar home run and the 80 ALCS Game 3 home run. Sparky Lyle third at 2.41. I thought for sure Mariano Rivera would be the number one. But
yeah. How many innings did Rivera throw?
Mariano Rivera threw.
Played freaking
1,283.
Wow. I don't remember him giving up any runs.
I don't either.
Except for the 2001 World Series.
Guy who could just take one pitch and stick it in your craw for 20 years is pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
He was the setup guy, that 96 title. He was the eighth inning guy for Wetland.
Yeah.
And then Wetland went to big money and.
There is no one. I'm confident saying this. There's never been anyone like him.
No.
And there won't be another one.
No. No.
Because he did it for how many years?
He pitched four. So he came up in 95, or was it 96? 95. Left in 13. So he had 19 seasons.
19 seasons. Of two ERA. And he never had a year where he had like a 4.5 ERA.
No. No. His worst year was 5.51 as a rookie.
Rookie.
After that, he was... 3.15 was his second lowest. That was at age 37. Think about that.
Yeah, it's like...
Between his first year and his last year, he had one season where his ERA was over 3.
It was like Dennis Eckersley for 18 years. Or
yes.
Wade Davis or Greg Holland. I mean, this forever. It's insane.
For two decades.
I look up...
I don't think he should have been the first player to be... Unanimously elected to the Hall of Fame, but you know, it is what it is.
I was looking something up the other day about I don't know, draft picks or something. And I remember like Andrew Miller. He was this hot shot guy. Mm-hmm. He's still getting paid. Like last year, huge money.
Yeah.
He had like 2 months. He didn't even have like
for Cleveland,
2 years. He had 2 months.
Yeah, for Cleveland in 16. And looked like he was going to help lead them to a title. And
crazy,
Cubs rally.
Man.
Cubs rally.
He made a lot of dough. Because then you just keep getting money. I mean, like, even like, listen, I love Greg Holland. Greg Holland got some contracts from other teams afterwards, and Wade Davis, too. But it's just.
And they both eventually came back here.
They come back. They all kind of hope, oh, this guy's going to be the guy. Well, no.
No.
It doesn't happen.
The bullpens are. So that's the
idea. Well, especially the guys who have to torque it so hard to throw these pitches that people chase in the dirt. It ain't working.
Holland to the point where, he was falling off the mound every time because he had to. He torqued his body so much, and
not good for the elbow.
That's what the idea that, and there are, I guess there are maybe some ways you could be consistent at this, but the idea that if you're good at building the bullpen 1 year, you're going to be able to build it the next year. I mean, there's so much. The people that you one, the bodies just aren't ever going to be consistent. The arms aren't going to be consistent. The idea that you can just have a great bullpen every single year with
if you could
guys
just do it with a cutter or a fastball, maybe you could do it forever.
But how many guys have done that?
One.
One guy. That's why,
I've
always said if your plan is, I don't think the Royals' plan was this, but if your plan is to try to do something that's only happened once or twice, you probably have a bad plan.
Yeah, probably so.
But he was something. But no, Goose Gossage, for his time, was better. He was there for 8 years.
Yeah.
Former Pirate.
White Sox.
White Sox.
What was the other one? Someone else, because it was on the... Into the I don't know what it was.
I'll find it
around somewhere.
I'll find it before we leave.
We'll see if the
air.
Royals win tonight. Salvi's back in the lineup tonight.
Padres.
That
Give
was
us a bomb
one.
To Kirk Gibson in the World Series. How did I forget that?
Yeah.
Didn't want to walk him.
All I remember is home runs.
Didn't want to walk him. Convinced Dick Williams to pitch to him.
Who wanted to walk to him?
Bomb.
All right, we'll be back doing this again on Monday.